Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. You asked for it, so we made it happen. Every Friday, we're doing something a little different. Instead of one long conversation, we're packing in four of them. Four experts, four big ideas, all in about the same time it takes to drink your morning coffee. We call it One Big Idea Friday, and the format is simple. I ask each guest one question, and they bring their single best idea for business leaders who want to grow without the noise. No fluff, no rambling, just the thing they actually want you to remember. I'm Josh Hellage. Let's get into it. And with our next One Big Idea, Tom Martin in New Orleans. Tom, it's great to have you. You are the founder and president of Converse Digital. You're found on the web at ConverseDigital.com. You work with a lot of marketing agencies. And you are the author of the book, The Invisible Sale, Painless Prospecting for Professionals. Tom, it's great to have you. I would love to hear your One Big Idea.
Thanks. It's good to be here. So the big idea, the invisible sale, was all about how do you capture the buyer or potential buyer who's at the moment of need. They're searching for a solution. So it's very SEO and content oriented and ChatGPT oriented. But the big idea today, I believe, is what I call the invisible bond. And understanding the invisible bond helps you deconstruct a scenario that we all see, whether it's in business development, whether it's just in corporate America. You have two people. They basically have the same idea. They talk or they share the same idea. And one person, it's like they never open their mouth. Nobody hears them. The idea doesn't gain any traction. Everybody forgets about it. The other person, it's like the equivalent of, you know, coming down a mountain with stone tablets. And it's just like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. The idea captures attention. It captures momentum, spreads throughout the company, or it spreads throughout the world if they're a thought leader. And unfortunately, we misunderstand that dynamic. People think that that either just, well, it just happens. Some people get lucky or whatever, or they will attribute it to just how loud the person is, the self-promoting person, etc. The truth is that's not it at all. What it comes down to in a nutshell is that it really doesn't matter what is being said. It matters who is saying it. And who is saying it? That's the invisible bond. The people who have built the network of bonds between themselves and others. And there's two types. There's strong and weak. The people who've invested in that, they understand how to build those bonds of likability, credibility, trust. They de-risk themselves. It's reputation in a nutshell. They de-risk themselves, which is what makes it easier for people to get behind that idea, to feel confident sharing that idea. And it's all about, like I said, two styles of bonds. They're strong and weak. Strong bonds are the people who are going to be, you know, to steal Seth Godin's idea, that's your first 10 customers, or that's your boss and your boss's boss, or somebody in the company who's just really well thought of. Those are the people that if they get behind your idea and they say, I'm willing to publicly support this, that's going to get that early momentum. That's going to give other people a signal that is, well, it's safe to support this idea or this person. But what's really interesting is that that's alone not enough for success or adoption. The people who are really good at getting their ideas adopted at scale, when you look at them, what they've done is they have built an enormous network of weak bonds between themselves and others. Might be people in another division, another department, another part of the company. If you're more like a thought leader type person, it's just, you know, people within the network, people who run conferences, people who believe in ideas and spread them. And they have this incredibly large network of pretty weak bonds, but that is the activation tool to get that idea out there. And the people who are consistently most successful, the people who get promoted, the people who get the raises, the people who start companies, the people who get keynotes at famous conferences and get paid lots of money, those people, if you look at what they do, they have done an outstanding job of building a core set of people, places that they have a strong bond with, that they, those people believe in them, they trust them, they say, I'm willing to go out and publicly support your idea, even if I'm not completely sure it's going to work. And then they compound that trust with this network of amplification from this very, very large, weak bonded network. The two together is what transforms somebody from just, hey, I'm a person with an idea, to I'm a person with an idea that you can feel safe supporting, and that translates into adoption, buying, selling, influence, all of it. And we both know those are the people that tend to be the most successful in our world, yeah, in really any aspect of corporate America.
Quick tip on how you would recommend forming all of those bonds in advance before you put your big thesis out and hope that you've got a network to support you.
Yeah, first and foremost is researching who those strong bonds should be with. I mean, your obvious ones are your bosses or your boss's boss. But, you know, if I was in a corporate environment, I would look and say, you know, who are the people that people look up to in this company? Whether they're directly in my division or department or not, and begin to build strong bonds with them through, hey, go have a cup of coffee, get to know them, check in with them periodically, be helpful to them. Like, what are they looking for in their world? How can you be of service to them, and how can you help them? How can you move through that likability, no trust, credibility pathway? And then on the weaker bond side, it's just, again, it's to be out there. You know, so many people that they know the people they work with, but they don't know anybody else in the company. Be that Pied Piper who's out there meeting people in all the different parts of the company, who's, even if you're an introvert like me, like, go out and be sociable and just meet people. And you don't have to build super, you know, super strong bonds. You're not going to invite each other to your kids' weddings. But if you see each other in the lunchroom, hey, man, hey, Josh, how you doing? How's it been? You might read an article and think, hey, you know what? That Josh guy over there in accounting would love this. And it could be a professional article, could be a personal article. Maybe you like to smoke meat and you're into barbecuing, but, and I find a cool, you know, I send it to you. It's just making those little deposits that move people through that likability, credibility, and trust cycle to where when you bring that idea forth, or when you bring your opportunity, the thing that you want to get momentum behind, they know who you are. They find you trustworthy. They think you're credible on whatever idea or topic that you're espousing. And most importantly, they feel like it's a low risk decision to publicly support whatever it is you're trying to get support for. Because that at the end of the day is the analysis we all go through. We're all, the human brain is designed to reduce risk. And if you can be the least riskiest person, the chances that people will adopt your ideas, will support them, will buy from you, etc., goes up exponentially. And that's the part people forget. They truly believe that persuasion and influence happens in the moment, when in fact, it's simply a product of work that was done days, weeks, months, and years in advance, building up and investing in these invisible bonds, that when the moment comes, you can call on those bonds, and those bonds are what will transform your idea into success.
Tom Martin, you are the author of the book, The Invisible Sale, Painless Prospecting for Professionals, and you are found on the web at converse.digital.com. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
With our next one big idea, it's Chris McShannig. Chris, you are the CEO and founder of Virtual Teammate. You're found on the web at virtualteammate.com. Chris, you and I were chatting just a little bit before we got going. I'm really excited for this topic. So please do share with us your one big idea.
Thank you, Josh. It's a privilege to be on your podcast today. Yeah, for me, you know, I've had experience in virtual assistant market for many years, placing well over 3,000 virtual assistants. But I really believe we're in an inflection point, and we're transitioning from really a service-based work model. I'm sure all of your listeners have heard about virtual assistant companies and the benefits of those from a labor arbitrage and cost arbitrage. But really where I see this is we're an inflection point to technology enable. I think where AI, and that's what we're doing at Virtual Teammate, really amplifies your virtual teammate, driving productivity, margin expansion, and scalable growth, right? Because I believe that, you know, the best thing we can do is enable folks leveraging the power of technology to achieve more and focus on their highest and best for you. So it's not about a VA company or just delegating to a person. It's about enabling a person and that really defining a platform of human plus AI execution to scale. Because I think we all had experience leveraging teammates. And, you know, in the last 10 years, we've gone from 5% of our workforce remote to now well over 50% of our workforce is remote. And, you You know, some of those are in the States, but a large majority are starting to grow outside of the US. And at Virtual Teammate, we're really focused on how do we bring that virtual remote team member and enable them. And we're building solutions and working with a lot of businesses to really embrace AI and enable and empower their virtual teammates or their folks within their office to achieve more.
So, Chris, are you saying that so obviously I think a lot of leaders, and I'll just kind of advocate for other leaders who are very interested in running lots of experiments, using agentic AI, using AI solutions. And then I think, one stress point might be from a lot of leaders is that I feel like a lot of leaders or founders, especially at the SMB level, feel like they are the ones that are responsible for teaching and ensuring that their teammates, both maybe domestically and virtually, are AI literate, and they're leveraging all of the best available tools. But if I hear you correctly, Chris, your teammates are already coming in schooled in AI. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So we have teams that are experienced of really building out the AI workflows and the experience. And so kind of moving from that labor-based model to more of an AI model, right? And so, for me, it's about building a workflows platform where human talent and intellectual automation combine to deliver scale and outcome-based execution for our clients. And so that's where our folks have the capability and experience, and we've leveraged AI tools internally. Now it's about helping our clients leverage AI tools within their business. Yeah.
If you were to talking to a room of business founders listening to us right now, and you were to give them a couple of pieces of advice, maybe without necessarily hiring you, that sort of thing, but they want to do a better job, rather than just say, hey, everybody, go use AI tools. What might be some ways that might be a little bit more effective that might not feel threatening, that actually might be a huge net positive for our organizations?
Yeah, I think great question, Josh. And so for me, it's about what are the outcomes you want to drive? Are you looking to drive productivity improvement internally? Are you looking to use it to grow growth, say from a sales and marketing perspective? So really clearly defining what your outcomes are or your outpost-based responsibilities, then looking at what's the structure you need to put in place? What are the tools you want to bring to bear? And then the third being, what are the people that you need to enable that? I think quite often we start kind of in the middle and we say, I've got these great tools. I just want AI. Well, but what are the outcomes? What are you looking to do with the AI? Is it to improve internal operations? Is it to expand your view and out into the business? And then looking at what are the right people and what's the right mix? Because as I mentioned, our teams have shifted in the last 10 years. So they're not just here physically in your office, but what I like to refer to is they're here, near, and far. Here in your office, near, maybe working within the same geographical space in the US or Canada or wherever your listeners are. And then far, leveraging teams like myself and then bringing that together, because the definition of a team is a group of individuals working towards a common goal. And so it's really about how do you form teams, but you've got to really clearly articulate to get engagement. What are the outcomes we're looking to drive? Then we define the structure and then the people. And so we work very diligently with our clients to kind of help them through that process.
Well, Christopher McShannig, your website is virtualteammate.com. When somebody goes to your website, what would you recommend they do? If they are interested in expanding their team, both with virtual teammates and, of course, virtual teammates that come in AI literate.
Yeah, now, great question. So for me, I think the best
would be a better word.
So I think the best thing is book a strategy call. I love having these conversations with clients because, we have, I think in the US, around 33 million businesses, about 30 million of them are small to medium sized businesses, and they're struggling, right? What does AI mean for me? What can I do? How do I do it? How do I get going? And so I'd love to have a strategy conversation with them and just kind of understand where their needs are today. And then we can kind of put them on that path to really get them to success and embracing not just AI to replace people. We talk about not replacing, but enabling your teammates, whether it be in your office, near, or be remotely leveraging our teammates to really help kind of force multiply. Because our goal is, I want your listeners and businesses and our clients to focus on the highest and best value use of their time and then delegate and leverage our teammates to really do the rest.
Christopher McShenig, founder and CEO of Virtual Teammate, found on the web at virtualteammate.com. Chris, thank you so much for sharing your one big idea.
You're welcome, Josh. Thank you very much. And it's so interesting. I'm only Christopher when I'm in trouble. So hopefully I'm not in trouble today.
With us right now, Bryce McBeth. Bryce, you are the founder of founder and CEO of Reap Commerce. You're found on the web at reapcommerce.com, and you're the co-founder of Neurograph, found on the web at neurograph.io. Thank you for joining us and sharing our next one big idea. Bryce, it's great to have you. Please share with us your one big idea.
Thanks, Josh. Well, I guess my one big idea is that data does not lie, but it can gaslight you. And so my premise here is that marketers are just bad analysts. And I would say actually analysts are bad analysts. And so it's not necessarily their fault. It's kind of the data that's presented to them. A lot of data and marketing, everything's marvelously measurable, but nothing really that is presented on its surface really is super telling. So an example of this, I like to just shift out of marketing for a second just to kind of paint the picture. If you've ever read a book like Freakonomics, you know, talked about this case study of No Child Left Behind, right? Like there is, these teachers were incentivized to help try to improve the education system and get kids to make better grades. And in fact, in the following years after this initiative was launched, grades did improve. But when, so on the surface, it appeared that the program worked. But when you go a step further and peel away the layers of the onion, what you end up finding is that the teachers were so incentivized that they cheated on behalf of the students to get their grades up. So the kids weren't actually getting any smarter. The teachers were finding a way to rig the system to get it to work. So I find that a lot in marketing, where this data that we're using becomes very self-fulfilling and only addresses things at a surface level. Just in its most simple form, an example would be conversion rates. Most brands will hearken data about their conversion rates. But if you really look at it, the conversion rate for new visitors versus repeat visitors is drastically different, just like it's drastically different when they're coming in from like a paid media versus organic, or if they're landing on the blog, for instance. I find that a lot of blog-driven traffic doesn't convert well at all. So could give a whole keynote on that. An example that sort of inspired this for me was I had my own e-commerce business, and my team kept telling me that my average order value was $800, that most people spent about $800. And I'll tell you, Josh, like I couldn't remember any one client that spent $800 with me. So I went and looked at the data myself, and I literally went through manually and looked at a bunch of orders and found that about 70% of my orders were people buying piece good items, like furniture, also on furniture. So you're talking about a $300-$400 order for most orders. Whereas a few orders that really made the majority of our revenue were people outfitting an entire business and spending $10,000 to $20,000 during their order. So in fact, $800 was an average, but it was reflective of not any one person that was actually on my website. So I had to dig through and figure out what the common trends were between these two different, distinctly different groups were, that was not apparent just by running, you know, average-based reports. And I think a lot of marketers do find, you know, fall in that trap where they're looking at, whether they're looking at Google Analytics or Triple Whale, whatever their source data is, even Shopify for that matter, that data can be extremely misleading. And it's critical to get into the weeds and segment the data a lot more granular.
Yeah. So in our final kind of 30, 45 seconds here together, what's the solution? Like, how do we get better data without kind of tainting, the experiment, as it were?
Yeah, well, so I think you're asking for an example at some point when we talked last. And I'd say, like, you know, the key is in segmentation. And it's hard to know exactly how to do that. You kind of have to go create a theory and go prove or disprove it. But if you take a simple, just as an example, you take a simple report like a landing page report through that you can typically get through Google Analytics or GA4. But instead of most people just look at like either the bounce rate or the number of times that those pages are served as a landing page. But if you look instead at the session key event rate on the far right, for the top landing pages during a period and look at the lowest conversion rate, that usually gives you your best ideas for conversions. And then you go a step further and segment that. Just as an example, you can segment it for females on mobile devices, pick a state, any state, and see what the how the numbers change. Then compare that to males on desktop. And again, this is just an example to show you how these different sort of polar opposite groups of people may behave completely differently. In your case, many of the stats may be similar, but that's an example of like how you can start to dig in to better understand. If you just run a gender report, half the people may be male, half the people may be female. That doesn't give you anything actionable to go off of. You really have to segment the data and get after it.
Bryce, your websites, Bryce Macbeth, your websites are reapcommerce.com and neurograph.io. Real quick, what would you recommend people do when they come to visit you?
Yeah, so it has a lot to do with where they're stuck. And typically people are stuck these days with attribution or better understanding their customer. And that's exactly that's what we're here for. So Neurograph specifically gets into personas, all the things that we just talked about, including their behavioral analytics. So that's something we could certainly take a look at if that's something that they're interested in and better understanding the different groups of people that were on their website.
Yeah, Bryce Macbeth, again, ReapCommerce and Neurograph.io. Bryce, thank you so much for joining us.
Cool. Thanks, Josh.
And with our next one big idea, we've got Paige Arnoff-Fenn. Paige, you are the founder and CEO of Mavens and Moguls. Congratulations on 24 years. Your website is mavensandmoguls.com. Paige, thank you so much for joining us, and please share your one big idea.
Well, thanks, Josh. My one big idea is that you do not have to be a famous celebrity today to be a brand. And if we learned anything during the pandemic, it's that your online presence is more important than ever. A lot of people think you have to be Taylor Swift, LeBron James, Beyonce to be a brand today, and that's just not true. A brand is a promise of a consistent experience, and you just literally don't exist unless people can find you online. What great brands have in common is that they own real estate in their customer's brain, so that every time a prospect has a problem that your product or service can help them solve, that they think of you first. So you have to be consistent. Don't spread yourself too thin. Pick your platform. I think the best brands know who they're reaching, and they have a few core messages. They're not trying to be everything to everybody. You want to pick one or two things that you do better than anybody else, better than your competition, and reinforce that in everything that you do. AI is the buzzword of the day, and everybody talks about artificial intelligence. But I think the AI that really matters today is authentic interactions. What is it about your origin story that stands out? What is it about your strengths, your weaknesses, your war stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, that you can share that makes you that valuable brand in your customer's brain? So what is it that you can do after listening to this today? If you're with me and you believe that you're a brand and not a commodity, commodities compete on price. You don't want to be in that box. All you need to do is do a quick communications audit. Go into Google, put in your name, put in your company name, find out what messages pop up. Are you telling a consistent story? Can people find you? Do they remember you? You can do some quick and dirty market research. Talk to people, a handful of people who know you from different situations. Are they on a board with you? Do they know you from work? Do they know you from a hobby? Are the same words coming up? So if I can leave you with one last important message, is that You only have one chance to make a great first impression. Make sure you're a brand that stands out and that you own that real estate. If people, if you don't make a great first impression and people have to find you again, it's going to take a lot more time and a lot more money. So be that compelling brand, have the words and pictures to tell your story so that people come back and they trust your brand over and over, and they tell people what a great brand you are.
Paige Arnoff-Fenn, your brand is Mavens and Moguls. Your website is mavensandmoguls.com. Paige, very quickly, if somebody goes to your website, what would you recommend they do if they want more Paige in their life, and how would one engage with you?
So I've got a lot of great content. It's all free on the site. I've got articles, I've got podcasts, I've got videos. So by all means, feast at your own, you know, there's just a ton of free content there. And if you want to stay in touch, you can find me on LinkedIn or get in touch through my website. And I'd love to continue the conversation.
Paige Arnoff-Fenn, founder and CEO of Mavens and Moguls, found on the web at mavensandmoguls.com. Paige, thank you for sharing your one big idea.
Thanks, Josh.
With our next one big idea, it's Katie Gutenberg. Katie, you are the founder of Digitally Enhanced Marketing. You're found on the web at digitallyenhanced.co. I love all of the work that you do, Katie, because you help your audience, you help your clients invoke AI in a very human way within our organization. So I'm so excited for your one big idea. Katie, I'm going to give you the stage.
Thank you so much, Josh. And thank you for letting me nerd out with you and your audience about this. But yes, what I have been so lit up, so passionate about lately is that everyone is trying to use AI to do more, work harder, work faster, and they're using it to try to help their businesses. I believe that using AI to just be more productive is not going to help you. Effective AI needs to be a true extension of you, your business, your ethos, why people choose you guys. And so that's what I've been really lit up and helping people figure out. So what I see so often in today's day and age, like I said, the conversation is so much about speed, productivity, how to do more, try these tools. Everyone's yelling at you about like what you need to be doing, how you need to be doing it. If you're not doing it, you're getting left behind. So I see people kind of adopting it in, or choosing not to. I see them kind of moving forward in one of two ways. A lot of people are talking to me being like, cool, how do we do more? Like, let's do it. Let's try it. And it's kind of this overwhelm and this like, let's throw spaghetti at the wall in a not intentional strategic way. And you get kind of awkward, not strategic results. And then you're like, all right, well, AI doesn't work. The other thing that I see people do is like, oh, well, I had this really weird experience. I saw someone post something. It was so clear it was AI. I couldn't get to a human. Like, it just kind of sucked. And I don't want to work with that company anymore. And I don't want my company to come across that way. I spent too long building my reputation, building the client connections, building the relationships. There's no way I'm letting a robot mess that up for me. And so then you kind of have the people in the middle being like, oh, okay, so like, which path do I choose? And this is the crux of it all, because AI is a mirror and it reflects what you put into it and like what you feed it. So what you give is what you get. And I don't see a lot of people talking about it in this way, where it truly has to be that extension of you. And it's really built, the foundation comes from how you train it, from exactly who you are, why people choose you, what has made your business so successful. So if I could give people kind of some concrete steps of like, okay, that makes sense. Like, obviously, like it's like when you're onboarding a new client, like you can't just be like, all right, go forth and prosper. Like you have to really sit down with them, train them, do all the things. But I will also say so often a bunch of my clients who are kind of in that like $5 to $10 million range, they know all these things, they have all these things floating around, and they still don't have that like documented process, that onboarding, the training. It's kind of like whoever trained you is whoever, that's how you like move forward from there. So if I could give you guys one like next step, the foundation, what you could do right now to start to work more with AI and more importantly, have AI work harder for you, I want you to really go back and sit down and start to collect like all of your brand documents at a high level. And then we'll kind of like scale down. But like, so what is your voice? What is your tone? Who do you operate? Or I'm sorry, who do you help? How do you help them? What are you doing? And I really want you to build out that like rich, deep, powerful, those brand documents. If you were to look at mine, they're crazy. They are like, and we don't use emojis and I hate a long dash if we can avoid it. And if you use passive tense, like blah, because it's me, it's my company. It needs to reflect that. So what I always suggest is people really need to build that out so clearly so that if you gave it to your intern tomorrow, they could go forth and like build something like you. But then we also need to take it a step further. And this is what I really don't see a lot of people doing is you've been around in business. You know what works, you know what doesn't. You also have that gut feeling. I need that gut feeling out of your head onto the paper. And also I need to see your most successful examples of everything, your most successful emails, your most successful sales documents, all of that stuff. Because when you put that real comprehensive package of like, this is exactly who we are. This is what we sound like. This is what we don't sound like. This is what we would never, ever say in a million years. This is who we're helping. This is what keeps them up. And here's like, when we wrote this email, we got like so many responses and we got so many clients. And when we did this post, like it went viral because of the connection that people felt. And this sales material turned into these really lucrative clients. Whatever the case may be, I need you to document all of that. I need you to put it in one place and I need you to take it to whichever AI tools you're using. This isn't going to be a, and you have to use this and you have to do it in that way. Like whatever you're experimenting with, whatever works for your business, infuse it in, ask it to read it, ask if it has any questions, make sure it understands. And then from there, that's when you're able to actually take AI to do more, work smarter, work faster, work harder, and not lose yourself, not lose the heart, the soul, the ethos that makes people want to engage with you, want to learn more, want to go deeper. So that is what I have just really been loving helping people with. Yeah. That's what I personally have seen so much success in my business to like get the mental cognitive load off my plate and also create things that are actually starting to move the needle. And it's so simple. Like that's the thing. It's so simple. I just haven't seen people really doing it from that approach.
Yeah. Do the work one time. I suspect, you know, if you dedicate some time over the course of a week or even a weekend, or maybe even you might even be able to get it done in one business day, you know, take a Friday and just do the work and everything moving forward. I agree with you, Katie. I think, you know, losing our authentic voice is a thing that I've heard a lot of established leaders. I think newbie business owners kind of don't care. They're just maximum output, right? They're mm-hmm. like move faster, break stuff, you know, kind of attitude. Whereas like you and I have very trusted relationships, right? And so if I were to come across as fake or phony or artificial, I can tell you my experience of that when that's been done to me, it kind of feels like a little bit of a ripoff. I'm like, oh man, I thought our relationship was worth a little bit more than that. So yeah, I understand the apprehension, but you're right. What you're describing is just absolutely brilliant so that we can get closer, you know, and you and I were kind of talking beforehand. It's like maybe traditional output from your favorite AI tool might right now be getting you about 70-75% of the way there with a lot of this work and getting your brand voice and getting that all locked down. I think it's pretty easy today to get maybe closer to 90-95%. And that's just, you add up the amount of work, you know, the amount of editing and the amount of frustration that you feel and like, oh, we got to go back and that's not it. You know, this really will save you an enormous amount of time in the long run. You know, Katie, I don't know that I think I neglected to mention your podcast as well.
Yeah.
And so for our friend that's listening to a podcast right now, do you mind sharing just a little bit about what you talk about? And of course, your main website is digitalenhanced.co. So if you could maybe just in about 30 seconds time, you know, kind of explain what you do. I know you've got a lot of great resources on your website. And then also, if you wouldn't mind mentioning the podcast as well.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Josh. So digitally enhanced marketing, we are a full service digital agent or digital marketing agency. We can help you with everything from brand strategy, marketing strategy, creative design, execution, all the things. I don't need to, people know what that is. Right now, what we've really been focused on, obviously, is the AI piece, because I'm so over people being like, well, AI doesn't work. It sounds like a robot. So I'm just kind of like, how can we use that to work smarter and infuse it into everything we're doing? So on the website, you will find a lot of free resources, low ticket resources, like you can get things for as low as $7, whatever, to really start to take those first next steps. And then Entrepreneur Shift is my podcast. You can find it on all the major streaming platforms. And it's really designed because I've been doing this for 7 years. Josh has been doing it even longer. All of you listening, I'm sure, as well, where so much is changing all the time. And how do we keep up with it without losing who we are? Also, the business journey, the entrepreneurial journey, it shifts so much inside of you. So we're having a lot of those conversations. It's short form intentionally like this to really give you that, like, this is what we're talking about. Here's what you do with it. Take that next step and start to like build up those wins. And right now, as you can tell by like what we've been talking about, it's a lot of hands-on. What's happening in AI? How do we use it more strategically? How do we infuse the humanity into it so that we're not recreating the whole, like, I put something in, it kind of sucked. I spent more time tinkering it with it than actually using it so that we can start to really enhance our businesses and the way that we go to market and the relationships that we're building. So all of this ecosystem is always to work smarter, not harder, really connect with people, really serve people. So yes, wherever you find me, my intention is that you're finding something that really helps you and that we're able to kind of connect because of it.
Heidi Gutenberg, your podcast is Entrepreneur Shift. Your website is digitallyenhanced.co. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Josh. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.